Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. It is Friday, May 8th, 2026. Happy Friday, everyone.
Happy Friday. It is a good one to end the week on because honestly, the news we're covering today is stuff I've been waiting to dig into properly.
Same. Like, I saw the documentation drop earlier this week and I have a confession. I stayed up until about midnight going through it, taking notes, sending voice messages to people.
Your family is so patient with you.
They genuinely are. My partner deserves a medal, but the point is, there's some significant infrastructure news out of Anthropic's Claude Code and Agent SDK teams, and it's the kind of thing that on the surface sounds a little dry. Agent configuration updates. But when you actually dig in, it's a much bigger deal than the headline suggests.
We're talking about a fundamentally new way to think about how you extend and configure Claude agents. The big story today is agent skills in the Claude Agent SDK. What they are, how they work under the hood, and why the specific design choices Anthropic made are actually philosophically interesting in ways that go beyond just, here's a new feature.
And then we're going to get into the broader Claude Code SDK updates, which are the other half of this picture, because the two things together are really a unified story about how Anthropic thinks agents should be built.
Plus, there's been substantial coverage in the broader tech press this week, 19 pieces just from the news feeds we track. And we'll touch on what people are saying and what the conversations are missing.
There's always something the conversations are missing.
There is always something. All right, let's get into it. The big story first. Okay, so Anthropic has published new documentation, detailed, thorough documentation, for something called Agent Skills within the Claude Agent SDK. And the core idea is this. You can now extend Claude with specialized capabilities that are packaged as individual files called skill.md files. These files contain instructions and descriptions about what the skill does. And then Claude, at runtime, autonomously decides when those skills are relevant and invokes them accordingly.
Okay, first reaction. Skill.md. They did it again.
They did it again.
They named it after the markdown file, which is completely consistent with how Claude Code works. You've got Claude.md for your project instructions. You've got skill.md for your skills. It's a whole ecosystem of capitalized markdown files, and I am here for it.
It's very on brand for this team.
Very much so. But let's actually talk about what a skill is, because the name is doing a lot of work, and I want to make sure listeners have a clear picture before we get into the implications.
Yeah, so a skill, in this context, is a modular self-contained extension to Claude's capabilities. You define it in a skill.md file. That file has two main things: a description, which is a short summary of what this skill is for, and the full instructions, which tell Claude how to actually use the skill. Those files live in a specific directory, .claude/skills. That's .claude/skills/. And then at runtime, Claude can look at the available skills, decide which ones are relevant to the current task, and invoke them.
And the word autonomously in the documentation is the word that jumped out at me. Because this is explicitly not the developer calling a skill. The model decides.
Right. There's no explicit invoke skill X now in your code.
The model reads the context, assesses the task, looks at what skills are available, and goes, yep, this situation calls for this skill. That's a meaningfully different architecture from what most people have been building.
And to understand why that's different, you have to compare it to the existing approaches. Because the obvious comparison is function calling, or tool use, which has been the dominant paradigm for extending model capabilities for the past couple of years.
So with function calling, you define your tools programmatically. You write code, you write schemas, typically JSON schemas, that describe what each tool does and what parameters it takes. You pass those schemas to the model in the API call. The model can then choose to call one of those tools.
And with skills, you write a markdown file.
You write a markdown file, which sounds less sophisticated, but is actually in some ways more expressive.
Why more expressive?
Because natural language is incredibly rich. You can describe nuance in a skill.md that you simply cannot capture in a JSON schema. You can say, use this skill when the user appears to be dealing with time-sensitive financial information. Try expressing that predicate in a JSON schema. Good luck.
It's basically impossible to capture that kind of contextual semantic condition in a type schema.
Exactly. But in natural language, in a well-written skill.md, you can say exactly when and why to invoke the skill. And because Claude is a highly capable language model, it understands those nuanced conditions.
So the trade-off is, you lose some of the precision of a formal schema, and you gain expressiveness and the ability to describe complex, context-dependent invocation conditions.
And I think for a lot of use cases, that trade-off is very much worth it, especially for skills that are about, when this kind of problem comes up, bring in this expertise. That's inherently semantic. A formal schema can't capture it.
There's also a design philosophy here that I think reflects what Anthropic has learned from the Claude Code experiment. Because Claude Code already works this way, right? The model reads markdown files. It reads your Claude MD. It reads your rules files. It understands natural language configuration. Applying that same pattern to skills is a natural extension.
It's doubling down on what works, and there's wisdom in that. If your users are already comfortable writing natural language configuration, give them more things to configure that way.
All right, but I know what developers are going to ask. If the model is the one deciding when to invoke a skill, how do you maintain control? What if the model invokes the wrong skill? What if it misreads the context and brings in something it shouldn't?
Yes, that is the question, and I've been thinking about this.
Go.
So I think the answer is you control it through the quality of your skill.md. And that might sound unsatisfying at first, like just write better instructions. But I think it's actually the right answer. Because Claude is a model that follows instructions well. If your skilled MD is precise about when this skill applies and when it doesn't, the model respects that.
And there's precedent for this. Good prompt engineering, well-designed system prompts. These things reliably shape model behavior. Writing a clear skill.md is a similar discipline.
Right. It's the same skill, pun intended, applied to a new artifact. The craft of writing effective instructions for Claude applied to skill definitions.
And I think there will be an entire community of practice that develops around this. How to write a great skill.md is going to be a very popular topic.
Already is, I bet. The moment this documentation dropped, someone started a blog post.
Oh, definitely. And tutorials, and example libraries, and YouTube videos.
The content machine runs hot.
It really does. Okay, let's talk use cases, because I think this is where the conversation gets really practical and interesting. What kinds of things make sense to package as agent skills?
So I've been making a mental list. First and most obvious, domain expertise. If you're building an agent for a specific industry, legal, medical, financial, logistics, whatever, you have domain-specific knowledge that you want the agent to be able to access. Terminology, protocols, best practices, regulatory constraints. You package that as skills.
And the alternative to packaging it as skills is putting it all in your system prompt.
Which is what everyone has been doing, and it's a mess. You end up with these enormous sprawling system prompts. Thousands of tokens of instructions crammed into one giant block. It's hard to maintain, hard to update, and honestly, hard for the model to navigate reliably.
Skills modularize that problem.
Completely. You still have your base system prompt with the core context, but then you have a library of skills that the model can reach for when specific situations arise. The instructions stay focused and relevant.
Second category?
Integration knowledge. If your agent needs to interact with specific systems, internal APIs, databases, third-party services, you can package that knowledge as skills. Here's how to query our internal reporting API. Here's the schema. Here's the authentication pattern. Here's the error handling conventions.
And crucially, that knowledge only gets surfaced when it's actually needed.
Which brings us to a really important point about efficiency. Context isn't free. Every token in the context window has a cost, literally, in terms of API pricing, and also in terms of model performance. The more irrelevant context you're loading, the harder it is for the model to focus on what actually matters.
If you have 20 skills, but any given task only requires 2 or 3 of them, you don't want all 20 loaded into context for every interaction.
And the autonomous invocation model handles this elegantly. The model looks at the short descriptions of available skills to decide what's relevant and only loads the full skill instructions when it actually needs them.
Which implies the skill.md file structure is designed with this two-stage process in mind. A brief description that's cheap to scan, and full instructions that are loaded on demand.
That's smart caching behavior. Lazy loading for AI capabilities.
I love that framing. Lazy loading for AI capabilities.
Third category of use cases, personalization. If you're building something like a personal assistant or a productivity tool, you might want to give users the ability to define their own skills. Here's how I want you to handle my emails. Here's my preferred formatting style for documents. Here's the context about my team and my projects.
User-defined skills as personalization.
Which is actually a really accessible way for non-developers to customize agent behavior. You don't have to know how to write code or how to structure a JSON schema. You write a markdown file describing what you want.
That democratization angle is interesting. It lowers the floor for who can customize these systems.
Significantly. And I think Anthropic is very aware of that. The ethos across their developer tooling has been, make this accessible to people who aren't deep AI researchers or experienced ML engineers.
All right, let's pivot to the second major piece of today's documentation, which is about how the Agent SDK now inherits the full file system-based features set from Claude Code. And I think this is where things get really interesting for developers who are building production agent applications.
Set the table for listeners who might not be deeply familiar with the Claude Code infrastructure.
Sure. So Claude Code, the CLI, the command line tool, has this sophisticated layered configuration system. At the center of it is Claude MD, which is a markdown file you put in your project directory that tells Claude about the project. What kind of code base it is, what conventions the team follows, what tools are in use, whatever context Claude needs to work effectively on your specific project.
And this is something that developers who use Claude Code are very familiar with. You set up a Claude.md once, and it significantly improves how Claude operates in your code base.
Right, and the configuration can be layered. You can have a global Claude.md for your general preferences, and project-specific Claude.md files for individual code bases. Claude reads through that hierarchy and builds up its context.
And the documentation is saying, if you're building an agent application with the Agent SDK, you get all of that. Same Claude MD mechanism, same layered configuration, same skills. And also, and this is the thing I got excited about, same hooks.
Same hooks.
Which we need to talk about, because I don't think hooks are getting nearly enough attention in the broader coverage this week.
We will absolutely get there. But first, let's talk about the mechanism that controls all of this, which is setting sources.
Yes, this is the key control parameter.
So setting sources is a configuration option in the Agent SDK that tells the SDK which file system locations to look at when loading configuration. You're essentially whitelisting the directories and files that the agent should read from.
And why does that matter? What's the problem it solves?
So without something like setting sources, you have this powerful configuration system that can load instructions from multiple places. Global directories, project directories, various Claude MD files, skill directories, rules files. And in a production environment, that's actually scary if you can't control it.
Because you could have configuration loading from somewhere unexpected. Old files, conflicting instructions, skills that were meant for a different context.
Exactly. And in a production deployment, especially an enterprise deployment, you need to know with certainty what configuration your agent is loading. Every time. Reliably, verifiably.
Setting sources gives you that. You enumerate the allowed configuration locations. The SDK only looks there, nothing else.
And that maps to a very familiar security principle, least privilege. You give the system access to exactly what it needs and nothing more.
Least privilege for AI agent configuration. I think we need to put that on a t-shirt.
I'd wear it.
The other thing setting sources enables is environment-specific configuration. Your development environment might load from a wider set of locations to make iteration easier. Your production environment loads from a very narrow, locked-down set of locations for security and reproducibility.
Same code, different configuration based on the environment. That's standard software engineering practice.
And it's so important that Anthropic baked this in from the start. Rather than having setting sources be something you hack together yourself, it's a first-class SDK parameter.
Which tells you something about who this SDK is being built for. Teams who care about production operations, not just demo builders.
Let's talk about rules files, because that's another piece of the system that I think is worth understanding.
So rules files are distinct from Claude MD project instructions. They're more granular, whereas Claude MD is your broad project context. Rules files are specific behavioral constraints or guidelines for specific situations.
So you might have a rules file called something like dataprivacyrules.md that says, when working with any data that might be customer information, follow these specific handling procedures. And a separate rules file called codestyle.md that has your team's coding conventions.
Different concerns, separate files can be composed together.
And because they're separate files, they're separately maintainable. Your legal team can own the data privacy rules file. Your engineering team owns the code style rules file. They don't have to coordinate every change to a single monolithic document.
That's a really important practical point for organizations. Different teams owning different configuration artifacts. Separation of concerns applied to agent configuration governance.
Which you'd expect any mature software organization to appreciate. We've had this problem with monolithic config files in traditional software forever. The lesson is, split things up by ownership and concern.
And the Agent SDK is giving you the architecture to do that from the start.
All right, hooks. Let's finally talk about hooks because I have opinions.
You clearly do. Go.
So hooks are event-driven callbacks that fire at specific moments in Claude's workflow. When the model is about to take an action, read a file, write a file, run a command, use a tool, you can define code that fires at that moment, before the action, after the action, or both.
It's essentially middleware for Claude's runtime behavior.
Middleware is exactly the right mental model. You're intercepting Claude's actions at defined points in the workflow and running your own logic.
And the use cases for this are extensive.
Okay, so let me go through some of the ones that I think are really powerful. First, monitoring and observability. With hooks, you can capture a real-time record of every single action Claude takes. Not just the final output, every intermediate action, every file read, every tool call, every state change.
Which is essential for debugging complex agent workflows. When something goes wrong in a multi-step agent process, you need to know exactly what happened and in what order.
And traditional logging doesn't capture this well because you're adding log statements to your code, not to Claude's actions. Hooks give you instrumentation at the right level of abstraction.
Second use case?
Governance and approval workflows. And this is the one that I think is genuinely transformational for enterprise use cases. Imagine you're deploying an agent in a context where certain actions require human approval, sending an external email, modifying a production database, initiating a financial transaction. With hooks, you can intercept those actions before they execute, send them to a human approval queue, and only allow them to proceed when a human says yes.
Human in the loop, but built properly into the architecture.
Not bolted on, properly designed. And you can make it conditional. If the action affects more than 100 records, require approval. Otherwise, proceed automatically. You encode your governance rules in hooks.
That's business logic integration. You're connecting Claude's action space to your organization's approval workflows.
Which is a huge deal for regulated industries, finance, healthcare, legal. These industries cannot just let an AI agent take arbitrary actions without oversight. Hooks give them the oversight layer.
Third use case?
Integration events. Say you want every action Claude takes to be logged to your existing audit system, or every output to be sent to a quality review pipeline, or every database read to trigger an update to your data access tracking system.
You don't have to modify Claude's core behavior. You hook into the existing events.
Right. Claude does its thing. Hooks fire. Your integrations receive the signals they need. Clean separation.
And importantly, all of this is controllable through setting sources. You specify which hook configurations load. In production, you know exactly which hooks are active.
No rogue hooks. No hooks from unexpected locations, full control over what's wired into Claude's runtime behavior.
I want to push on the architecture one more time because I think there's a through line here that's worth making explicit. The thing that connects skills, Claude IMD, rules files, and hooks is that they're all defined as file system artifacts, files and directories.
Which means all of them can be version controlled.
All of them. Every skill definition, every project instruction, every rules file, every hook configuration, all of it lives in Git. You can see every change. You can review changes in pull requests. You can roll back. You have full history.
And that's such a profound advantage over the alternative, which is configurations stored in databases, or API calls, or strings in environment variables. None of that is naturally version controlled. None of that gives you a clear diff of what changed between deployments.
Skill.md changed? You see exactly what line changed, who changed it, when, and why in the commit message.
That's the kind of auditability that makes security and compliance teams happy. And it's free. It comes for free because everything is a text file.
There's also the question of developer workflow. And this is something I want to highlight because I think Anthropic has been very intentional about reducing friction in the path from development to production.
Yeah, talk about that.
So the fact that the Agent SDK uses the same file system conventions as the Claude Code CLI means that whatever you build and configure while developing with the CLI translates directly to the SDK. No rewriting, no translation layer.
That's huge. Because usually, and I've done this, you prototype something in Claude Code, and then when it's time to turn it into a proper deployed application, you have to basically rebuild the configuration logic from scratch. Because the CLI and the SDK are different systems with different configuration models.
And here, they're the same system. The Claude.md you wrote for prototyping works in production. The skills you developed in the CLI work in the SDK deployment.
The prototype is the production configuration. That is a dramatic reduction in operational complexity.
And for startups especially, that time compression is meaningful. The path from I have an idea to this is running in production just got shorter.
Weeks shorter, potentially.
Potentially. And for enterprise teams who are building internal agent tooling, the familiar paradigm is valuable too. Config files, directories, version control. Enterprise developers know how to operate these systems. They've been doing it for decades.
There's no learning curve on how do we manage these configuration files in production. It's the same as managing any other configuration files. Your existing tooling handles it.
Your existing CI/CD pipeline handles it. Your existing access control policies handle it. It slots into what you already have.
Okay, I want to zoom out and think about what this represents philosophically, because I think Anthropic is making a big bet here about the right way to build production AI agents.
What's the bet?
The bet is that AI agent configuration should be treated as software configuration, not as prompt strings, not as database rows, not as API parameters, as actual software configuration artifacts, files, directories, a defined hierarchy, version controlled, auditable, testable.
And the argument for that bet is the same argument that's been made for config as code in traditional software. That treating configuration as code gives you all the benefits of software engineering practices.
Review, testing, versioning, rollback, environment management, all of it.
And it's a bet that I think is going to look very wise in a few years, when people look back at how AI agents evolved from interesting demos to production infrastructure.
Because the things that made the difference in traditional software, the practices and tooling that separated reliable production systems from flaky prototypes, they almost always involve having good configuration management. Infrastructure as code, GitOps. These are mature practices that enterprise software has embraced because they work.
And Anthropic is bringing those practices to AI agent development.
Not reinventing the wheel, taking proven software engineering principles and applying them to a new domain. That's usually a winning strategy.
Let me also spend a minute on the community and ecosystem angle. Because I think when you look at skill.md files specifically, one of the really exciting things is how shareable they are.
Oh yeah, this is the thing I keep coming back to.
A skill.md file is just a text file. It's completely portable. You can put it in a GitHub repository. You can share it in a blog post. You can add it to a project's README. There's no format compatibility issue, no dependency on a specific version of an SDK.
If I write a skill for integrating with, say, a popular project management API, and I share that skill.md publicly, anyone else who wants to use that integration can just grab my file and drop it in their .claude/skills/directory.
It's like a universal package format for Claude capabilities.
It really is. And I think community skill libraries are going to emerge really quickly. Someone is going to build a curated repository of high-quality skills for common integrations, like an NPM registry, but for Claude capabilities.
Check out the Community Skills Registry for integrations with popular tools.
Exactly. And the quality will iterate fast because the feedback loop is tight. You write a skill, you use it, you figure out it doesn't handle edge case X well, you update the markdown file, you share the update. The iteration cycle for improving a skill.md is much shorter than improving a software library.
And organizations can build internal skill registries. Your company has a repository of approved skills for interacting with internal systems. Engineering teams pull from that registry when they need a specific capability.
Governed, auditable, centrally maintained, but decentralized in usage.
That's a really clean model.
And there's a skill development workflow that I can imagine emerging. You start in the CLI experimenting with skills, seeing how Claude invokes them, tweaking the descriptions and instructions. When you've got a skill working well, you graduate it to the shared repository.
Playground to production with skilled MD files.
It's a workflow that feels very familiar to developers. Prototype, iterate, promote. but applied to AI capabilities.
Okay, I think we've been pretty thorough on the technical content. Let's talk about the broader news landscape and then wrap up. So as I mentioned, we've been tracking 19 pieces of coverage this week touching on Claude, Anthropic, and the agent ecosystem. And the volume alone is telling. When there's that much being written, it reflects genuine industry interest and attention.
And when I scan through what people are writing about, the theme that comes up over and over is agent framework infrastructure ready for serious enterprise deployment? That's the question everyone is wrestling with.
And I think today's documentation drops from Anthropic are a pretty direct answer to that question. Because the things enterprise buyers ask about, configuration management, access control, auditability, reproducibility, human oversight, the Agent SDK is now addressing all of those.
Not with vague promises, with specific features. Setting sources for configuration control, hooks for oversight and governance, version controllable skills for auditability. These are concrete capabilities.
There's also been a lot of coverage this week about the competitive landscape in agent frameworks. And without getting into a point-by-point comparison of every framework out there, that's a whole other episode. The broad pattern I'm seeing is that different teams are making different bets about where the complexity should live.
Say more.
So some frameworks put the complexity in the code. You write a lot of Python or TypeScript or whatever to wire up your agent behavior. Very programmatic, very explicit, very familiar to software developers.
The everything is code approach.
Right. And other frameworks, like what Anthropic is doing with the Agent SDK, are saying, put more of the complexity in configuration artifacts, in files, in directories. Let the model read and interpret those artifacts.
And there are real trade-offs. The everything is code approach gives you precise control and familiar tooling. The configuration file approach gives you accessibility and expressiveness and that composability we've been talking about.
And I don't think there's a clear winner for every use case. But for use cases where you want non-developers to be able to contribute to agent behavior, domain experts writing their own skills, for instance, the configuration file approach has significant advantages.
The legal expert can write a skill.md describing how to handle contract review. They don't need to know how to write a Python class.
That's the accessibility argument, and I think it's compelling.
There's also been interesting coverage this week about what people are calling the autonomy spectrum for AI agents. And this is something that I think the agent skills architecture touches on in a really interesting way.
The autonomy spectrum being, define that for listeners.
So the idea is that there's a spectrum from fully human-controlled systems on one end, where a human explicitly directs every action, to fully autonomous systems on the other end, where the model does whatever it thinks is best. And the real question for enterprise deployment is, where on that spectrum do you want your agent to be? And how do you enforce that?
And agent skills, specifically autonomous invocation, is deliberately positioned on the more autonomous end of that spectrum for the decision about which capabilities to invoke.
Right. The model decides which skills to use. You're not in that loop.
But hooks give you a mechanism to pull other decisions back toward the human-controlled end.
Exactly. So the architecture isn't forcing you into a single position on the autonomy spectrum. It's giving you the tools to calibrate. Model autonomously chooses its skills, fine. But before it takes any externally visible action, there's a hook that checks in with a human. Also fine. Both things can be true.
Granular autonomy control.
And I think that's the right answer for most serious enterprise deployments. You don't want a binary choice between agent does everything and human approves everything. You want to be able to say agent does X autonomously, Y requires oversight, Z requires approval.
Hooks let you implement that policy. Skill.md lets you define the capabilities. Setting sources lets you control what's loaded. It's a coherent system for expressing complex deployment policies.
The thing that a lot of the broader coverage is missing, and I keep seeing this, is the connection between the technical architecture and the organizational needs. People are writing about the features in isolation. Oh, new skills feature, neat. But not connecting it to, here's the organizational problem this solves.
Right. The organizational problem is, how do you actually deploy an AI agent in a large organization where different teams have different needs, different compliance requirements, different levels of AI risk tolerance?
And the answer this architecture provides is, you have a shared infrastructure. The dot cloud directory conventions, the skills system, the hook system, but you control exactly how it's configured per deployment via setting sources. Team A's agent has different skills and different hooks than Team B's agent, even if they're built on the same underlying SDK.
Configuration divergence without code divergence.
That's a beautiful phrase.
I'll take it.
The other thing I notice in the coverage is that people aren't talking much about the knowledge transfer implications, which is, if you have domain experts who are good at writing Claude.md files and Skill.md files, that expertise is genuinely transferable across organizations.
A prompt engineer, or whatever we call them now, who knows how to write great markdown configuration for Claude has skills that apply across every Claude deployment.
And that creates a labor market for a specific skill set, which means training programs, certifications potentially, consulting practices around will come configure your Claude agents properly.
Already happening to some degree.
And it accelerates as the tooling matures.
There's also been coverage about developer productivity, and I think this one connects directly to what we've been discussing. The narrative in several pieces this week is that the real multiplier on developer productivity from AI tools isn't the individual code generation. It's the reduction in the cognitive overhead of maintaining and operating complex systems.
And this is where I think the composable configuration model really shines. When your agent's behavior is defined in organized, readable, version-controlled files, the cognitive overhead of understanding and changing that behavior is dramatically lower.
You can read a skill.md and understand exactly what capability it provides. You can read your Claude.md and understand exactly what context Claude has about your project. There's no reverse engineering a system prompt you wrote 6 months ago.
The documentation is the code, essentially. Or rather, the configuration is self-documenting.
That's a huge productivity win. Not just for the person who set it up, but for everyone who joins the team later.
Onboarding a new developer onto a Claude-powered system. Here's the Claude directory. Read the Claude.md, read the skills, read the rules. You now understand how our agent works.
That's a remarkable onboarding experience compared to, let me walk you through this 1,000-line system prompt.
Huh, yeah, we've all been there.
The struggles of early era prompt engineering.
Character building times.
Well, the tooling is getting better. All right, let's bring it home, because I know people have things to do on a Friday morning.
We respect your schedule.
We do. Sam, give me your headline takeaway from everything we covered today.
My headline takeaway, and I've been sitting with this, is that Anthropic has made a philosophical commitment with the Agent SDK. The commitment is that AI agent configuration should be treated exactly like software configuration. Files, directories, version control, environment management, composability. Not as an afterthought, not as a developer convenience, as the core architectural principle. And I think that commitment is going to age really well.
My takeaway is about autonomous invocation. The design choice to let the model decide when to invoke a skill, rather than having the developer explicitly invoke it, is interesting because it requires trust in the model's judgment, but it's trust within bounds that you define through the skill.md itself. Trustworthy autonomy through careful design. That's a philosophy that I think applies to a lot of what Anthropic is building right now.
It really does. It keeps coming up across their products and their research. How do you give models more autonomy in ways that remain safe and controllable?
And the answer they keep arriving at is, not through restricting autonomy, but through designing the right constraints and the right feedback mechanisms so that autonomy can be safely expanded.
Which is also, by the way, how you design complex human organizations. You don't micromanage every decision. You design systems, set constraints, and trust people to make good decisions within those constraints.
Management theory applied to AI agents.
I'm going to write a blog post about this.
I'll read it. Looking forward?
Oh, a lot of things. I want to see the first community skills repositories emerge. I'm genuinely curious how fast that happens and what the first really popular community skills are. Like, what's the skill equivalent of the hello world that everyone shares?
And I want to see real-world production deployments start to share stories. The documentation and architecture look excellent on paper. Now it needs to survive contact with real production environments.
Real users, real edge cases, real organizational complexity.
And we'll be here covering it when that happens.
We absolutely will.
One more thing before we go, and I don't say this often enough. Anthropic's technical writing team deserves real credit here. The documentation we talked about today is clear, detailed, well-organized, and actually enjoyable to read. That's not easy to achieve with complex technical content.
Genuinely, I've read a lot of SDK documentation in my career, and the quality here is notably high. If you want to go deeper on everything we talked about today, the Claude Code docs are the place to go. Well worth reading after you finish listening.
Strongly seconded. All right. That is Claude Daily for Friday, May 8th, 2026. A big thank you for spending part of your morning with us.
Whether you're commuting, at the gym, making breakfast, we appreciate you tuning in, genuinely.
If you're a developer and you're starting to think about building with the Agent SDK, I hope today's episode gave you some useful mental models for thinking about the architecture.
And if you have questions, thoughts, things you're building, we love hearing from listeners. The community conversations are some of our favorite parts of making this show.
For Sam, I'm Alex. Have a wonderful Friday. We'll see you back here Monday.
Make something cool this weekend.
Make something cool.